May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 643. Again, dear Lord, we would be fed. We come to seek for living bread and feast on love divine. Dear Father, let thy presence be enjoyed by all thy family and make each face to shine. Hymn 643.
Thank you.
from God's holy word. Our reading is in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called, and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee.' Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the 3rd day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help Benji to pray.
Do pray that thou wilt come and indite true prayer in our hearts, that thou wilt give us that true and living faith to look up unto thee and to truly come unto thee as poor unworthy sinners. Lord, do grant us a truly humble heart to confess our sins before thee, to seek thy mercy, to know thy forgiveness, to know thee, the one who alone can cleanse us from all our sins. Oh Lord, we have such a wretched heart, so full of unbelief, so far off from thee. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come over these things and that thou wilt draw us unto thee. Oh, that we might truly see thee as our Saviour and our Redeemer. O Lord, thou alone canst cleanse us from our sins and make us ready. Oh, do grant us that true faith to believe in thee and thy work. O Lord, that we each might know that thou didst come down upon this earth to suffer, bleed and die, and that it was for our sins. O Lord, each one of us. Lord, it has to be that personal thing. May we each know it, to know thee, our hope of eternal life. Lord, time fast passes away. The greater part of our life is gone. Eternity looms before us. Not one of us knows when, but oh, that we might be prepared, that we might be found truly looking unto Jesus, the one thing needful. Lord, that we might be enabled to keep all these things of time in their right place, and truly consider thee and where we stand. Oh, do make us each ready. Prepare us each for that great change. And Lord, may we have that true prospect before us, that thou wilt help us through the rest of our days here below and land us safe at last. Enable us then, with that true faith in our hearts, to look to Jesus, who alone can do these things for us, that we truly might be among those that watch and wait for thy appearing. Lord, look down, have compassion upon our never dying souls, and grant us that token that our names are in thy book of life. Oh, do remember us each for good. And if it can be thy will, that thou wilt even this night grant us a true blessing, that thou wilt come and grant those showers of blessing upon each one gathered here tonight. Oh, leave none to leave thy house, as it were, as they came in, that they each might know their Saviour and be enabled to rejoice in thee and thy work. O Lord, do remember us then for good. For thou knowest the needs of each one and how they have come into thy house tonight, the cries and the petitions that have been put up unto thee, even for this service. And we do pray that thou wilt cause thy word to be made truly suitable, those words we've read, those words we sing, O Lord, and that which was preached in days past, thou canst use it all. We do pray that there might be the power of the Holy Spirit to apply these things to the good of never dying souls. O Lord, that there might be those things which bring forth that change in our hearts, that we might be enabled to worship and to praise thy great and holy name. Lord, we have not one of thy servants with us today, but oh, we do pray that we might have thy presence, and that thou wilt use thy word to thy own honour and glory, and to the good of one and another. O Lord, we do pray then that there might be those things which enter in, and that that might be by the power of thy Holy Spirit, there will be the hearing ears, the understanding hearts. And Lord, if it can be thy will, loosen those tongues that can tell of what thou hast done. O Lord, there are many hindrances even in this, but thou canst overcome them all. Thou alone canst take away that fear of man, those fears and doubts that we each have. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remove them, and that thou wilt come and grant all needed help and strength. O Lord, we have an almighty God. We pray that thou wilt work, that thou wilt come then and build up this church that gathers here, that there might be that praise, true worship, brought forth to thy name. Oh, do remember us then in mercy. Remember each of thy servants even this night out on the walls of Zion. Lord, we pray that thou wilt use them to the good of souls and to thy own honour. And Lord, we pray that if it's right in thy sight, that thou wilt send us that settled ministry, a pastor after thine own heart. Lord, may we be enabled to look up unto thee for these things, and that it might be thy will. O Lord, that we each might be enabled to say, thy will be done. For, O Lord, it is only as it is of thee. Grant then those right desires, that true exercise, that looking unto thee. Do remember us then in mercy, and grant us that true blessing. Remember each one then that has gathered here with those secret cases, those difficult things, those trying times. O Lord, we pray that thou will enable them to cast them upon thee, and that thou wilt bring forth that deliverance, that help. And Lord, we pray for those unable to be with us tonight through sickness. O Lord, and we pray that thou wilt grant thy healing mercies, and raise up once more, for thou art that great physician. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt remember this country of ours, what a state we're in. O Lord, we know not what to say, but we do pray that thou wilt stem the tide of evil. And Lord, as we come in this coming week to another election, Lord, that they might raise up some that possess thy fear. Oh, do guide and direct us each in what to do. Oh, Lord, and we pray, thy will be done. Oh, Lord, we fear we are ripe for thy judgments, but oh, we do pray that in wrath thou wilt remember mercy, that thou wilt turn again this nation. Nothing is too hard for thee. Help us then to see these great things. Do now remember us through the rest of this service. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt use the sermon read. We pray that thou wilt help our brother, and that there might be some good thing done in thy name. O, have mercy on us each, Remember us now for good, for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 391. Jesus, friend of sinners, hear a feeble creature pray. From my debt of sin set clear, for I have naught to pay. Speak, O speak, my kind release. A poor backsliding soul restore. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. Hymn 391. I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Ramsbottom. You will find the words of the text in the chapter we read, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10 and verse 33. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Acts chapter 10, verse 33. This is a very interesting and remarkable chapter. It tells how the gospel was first preached to the Gentiles and how the prejudices of Peter were broken down. We have this man Cornelius, a centurion. A strange thing, isn't it, that in the New Testament, whenever we have mention of a Roman centurion, he always is given honourable mention. You can think of this centurion, the centurion who came to the Lord Jesus, the centurion who had to deal with the Apostle Paul. Now it seems very clear that this centurion Cornelius had a certain measure of gospel light, but he had not the clear knowledge of salvation. Certainly he had not the clear knowledge of Christ. In one sense, he was something like the Ethiopian eunuch who had been up to Jerusalem to worship and was returning cast down, disappointed. And yet this man Cornelius, it is clear there was something very real about his religion. It was the work of God. There are three things that clearly marked his religion as being real, but he had not got that vital, personal, saving knowledge of Christ yet. There were so many deficiencies in his religion. But just to pause here, do you ever go like I do when I am in prayer and say, Lord, I can see so many deficiencies in my religion. Lord, do make up those deficiencies. Put them right. Well, this man was a good man, but he had so many deficiencies in his religion. But the first thing is, he feared God. Wherever there is real religion, whatever is known, whatever is not known, however little, however much, there will always be this, the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God, which is to depart from the ways of evil. So he possessed the fear of God. And the second thing, he prayed continually. Wherever there is the life of God in the soul, there will always be prayer. However much darkness, however much bondage, however much ignorance of God and truth and salvation, of necessity there will be prayer. Just as when a child is born, that child breathes and that child cries. So when there is the life of God in the soul, there will be prayer. And the third thing, his consistent life, and the people saw it. The Jews, though he was a Gentile, held him in respect. It was evident that there was something different. He delighted to give to the poor, yet there was such darkness, such ignorance. He did not really know the way of salvation. He certainly did not know Christ personally, savingly for himself. Yet the work of grace was begun. Perhaps that reminds some of you of yourselves. You feel you do not know much. You feel you have not attained. Perhaps you feel like this centurion, so ignorant, so deficient. Oh, but hold it fast. Do not despise it. If you possess the fear of God, if of necessity you have to pray, and if your life is different. As the old divines used to say, a perhaps of salvation. Let no one rest in it. Let no one despise it. Who hath despised the day of small things? I remember at our early prayer meetings in the 60s, they used to have that saying, what a mercy if they are not dead things. But the day of small things, do not rest in it, but do not despise it. The Lord will perfect that which concerns you. He did with Cornelius. He will with you. He which hath begun a good work in you, and perhaps you cannot deny it. You are not what you would be, but you know you are not what you once were. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Though thy beginning was small, thou, Lord, wilt carry on and perfectly perform the work thou hast begun in me, a sinful worm. Midst all my fear and sin and woe, thy Spirit will not let me go. And the Spirit of God would not let Cornelius go. But here was this man living in Caesarea. He did not really know any of the people of God. He did not know where the truth was preached. He had no chapel to go to, no minister to hear. Now the Lord knows how to deal with the cases of his people. He appeared to Cornelius and he told him there was a certain minister. He told him his name, Simon, and his surname, Peter. And he also gave him his address, with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, that is at Joppa. And he said, send for him, and he shall come. We might have wondered whether Peter would come or would not come, but the Lord said, he will come. And if the Lord will have a minister come and preach to you, he will come. If the Lord sets that open door, no man can shut it. I could say a lot of things on this point as it concerns our congregations today. You have it with Lydia. A few women and they are meeting by the riverside. They have not even a man amongst them. What do they do? Do they have some second best? They pray. And the Lord sent them the Apostle Paul. Cornelius here, he did not come to some kind of second best. He prayed earnestly, and the Lord sent him the Apostle Peter. If there was only that spirit in our churches instead of a second best, being easily satisfied. Now God can send the pastors, God can send the ministers. So we have all this wonderful unfolding. Peter and the vision, the great sheet knit at the four corners. Two men, they have never heard of one another. Yet in the purposes of God, they have to come together and the one to be blessed to the other, just like Philip and the eunuch. His providence unfolds the book and makes his counsels shine. Each opening leaf and every stroke fulfills some deep design. Now let me say this. Peter was told by Almighty God that he had to do something, and he did not want to do it. Do you know what he said? "Not so, Lord." That is a contradiction in terms. Yet you and I say it, don't we? We call him Lord, yet we say, "No, not so, Lord." That is a contradiction. You cannot call him Lord and say, "Not so." There will be times in your life when the Lord tells you to do something that your flesh shrinks from. Seek the grace of submission. Do not say, "Not so, Lord." If the Lord tells you to go, then you go. You know what happened to Jonah when the Lord told him to go and he said, "Not so, Lord." He landed up in the belly of a whale. You do not know where you might land up when you say, "Not so, Lord." We have to watch ourselves. Peter was almost telling Almighty God what was right and what was wrong. We need to watch that. Our own carnal prejudices of what we think is right. We need to watch this. We have all got it in our own hearts. Well, you have the coming together, the vision of Cornelius, the vision of Peter, the three men sent from Cornelius to Peter. Three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing. And then this meeting of Cornelius and Peter together. Really, the verse I've read to you now was the beginning of the service in the solemn, sacred worship of God. Now look, it was the first time that Cornelius had ever heard the truth preached. It was the first time that he had ever been to a real Christian service. He was absolutely overwhelmed with it. It almost prostrated him. Now we have deviated very far from that, haven't we? We come to chapel just like we might go down to the Arndale Shopping Centre. That is solemn. You look how Cornelius came. When he met Peter, the first gospel minister he had ever met, he fell down at his feet and worshipped him. That was wrong. That was sinful. That was idolatry. But you see the spirit of the man, the honour he placed on the Lord's messenger for the Lord's sake. This was the beginning of the first Christian service he had ever attended. Oh, but this language, it is most beautiful language, but I am afraid we have drifted a long way from it in our chapels, our congregations. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? The delight, the humility, the self-abasement, the anticipation that he, a poor, sinful, wretched man, should be privileged to hear a messenger from the Most High God. He was overwhelmed with the Lord's love and mercy and kindness. We have drifted far from this. Some of us know a young lady in the United States of America from St. Louis in Missouri, and she told us the first time she ever entered through the doors of a strict Baptist chapel, the tears just flowed. She could not control herself. She said, "Lord, I never thought that such a guilty sinner as myself would ever in my life be privileged to stand within the walls of a strict Baptist chapel." And she meant it, and she was blessed indeed. But you see, beloved friends, we have drifted far from this. It is just Sunday. It is just time to go to chapel. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Cornelius' heart was prepared beforehand, and his household, those with him, their hearts were prepared beforehand. They were prepared to worship God. They were prepared to receive his word, whatever it was. They were prepared to worship him. Oh, we read so much in that very close, solemn parable of the sower and the seed. Some of the ground was prepared. It was good ground. And that ground that was prepared, it received the good seed of the word. And it brought forth fruit to eternal life. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now, does the Lord prepare our hearts before we come to chapel? The Lord says, "Take heed how ye hear." Now, does the Lord prepare our hearts? To go a little further, do we pray before we come? Do we pray that the Lord will prepare our hearts, make them soft, open our hearts? May we in faith receive thy word, in faith present our prayers, and in the presence of our Lord unbosom all our cares. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. First of all, he had that realization that they were just a few met together. It was not a chapel. It was not a church. It was not a synagogue. It was not a cathedral. It was just in a house. But that solemn realization that they were all present before God. And beloved friends, tonight we are all present before God. But do we believe it? And do we behave as if it were so? How do you come? And how do you go? And how do you sing? And how do you hear? We are all present before God, that God who is great, almighty, our creator, that God to whom we are accountable, that God who sees all things, that God who knows our thoughts, the inner recesses of our hearts. We are all here present before God. Not just present with one another. We are all here present before God. And God knows those who are right and those who are wrong. And those who have prayed before they have come. And those who have not. And those who have a case to be dealt with. And those who have no case to be dealt with. The Lord knows those who are seeking his face and those who are not seeking his face. The Lord knows those who are real and those who are hypocrites. We are all here present before God. And it seems to me, right from the beginning, Cornelius had a religion before God, and he wanted a religion before God. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. He wanted to be naked and bare before God. At the beginning, his religion was so deficient, and it was at this moment, but he was before God. It is what we are in the sight of God that matters, not what we are in the sight of men. Other people may think we are all right. The Lord may think we are all wrong. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God? Then the second thing, we all here are present before God. What? To hear what Peter has got to say? To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We have drifted far from this, haven't we? How many of you, when you come to chapel, are just going to hear the preacher, going to hear the sermon? How many have come tonight to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? A divine message, a message from heaven. In those days of spiritual blessing and prosperity at Dundee in the 1830s, when McCheyne used to preach there, it is said that when the door opened on the Lord's Day morning and he appeared, almost a visible shaking took place throughout the whole congregation, and the tears began to flow, and you could hear one or two people quietly weeping. They could not control themselves. As he mounted the steps into the pulpit, they realized they were going to hear a message from heaven, and they trembled before it. We have drifted far from that. Hear all things that are commanded thee of God. If ever there is real prosperity in our churches again, if ever there is a real revival in our churches, there will be these two things. First of all, our religion will be before God. And when we meet together in the sanctuary, it will be coming before God, before his all-seeing eye. And then secondly, not just to hear the sermon or to hear preaching, but to hear the voice of God. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Well, what were these things that Peter was commanded of God to speak? And then what was the effect of these things that Peter was commanded of God to speak? Sometimes you look at the top of your Bible and you have the little brief summaries of the translators, and sometimes rather quaint, rather beautiful. Cornelius sendeth for Peter. Peter cometh to Cornelius. Peter preacheth Christ to Cornelius. That is what Peter did, and that is what Cornelius heard. To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Peter preached the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one or two things have struck me. One thing, it was not a very long sermon. And let us be honest, if we work according to our own reason, it was not a particularly good sermon. There was not anything special about it. Oh, but the power and the Lord's blessing that attended. To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Well, he spoke of who the Lord Jesus is, that he is the Christ, the promised Messiah, that he is the Lord of all. And then what he did. He lived on this sinful earth. That is a lovely expression. Who went about doing good. And then his death, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. And then his glorious resurrection, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Now that was what Cornelius needed to lay the top stone in its place. He had the foundation laid, the new birth had taken place. He had a real religion, a real concern. But there was so much ignorance, so much he did not know, so much deficiency. Now God will always finish his own work. Thou, Lord, wilt carry on and perfectly perform the work thou hast begun in me, a sinful worm. It was just that one thing he needed. A precious view of Jesus by faith, who he is, what he has done, that he might sweetly be enabled to believe on him and to know that wonderful joy and peace in believing. This is the opening of the door of faith to the Gentiles. But we preach Christ crucified. This is the answer to all your ignorance, all your deficiency, all your shortcoming. If you are blessed with living faith to look to Jesus, who he is, a real man, true Almighty God, he is Lord of all, and to see him crucified, to know the reason why, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and to see him risen, exalted and glorified, mighty to save. Now this was the word which by the Spirit of God Peter preached, and which had that gracious effect, because Cornelius enjoyed something of that sweet joy and peace in believing. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water? Dare any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" The New Testament qualification: those who have received the Holy Ghost. That is enabling them to repent and believe on the Son of God. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Well, what of this glorious gospel that Peter preached? All things that are commanded thee of God. It seems that Cornelius drank in the truth just like the thirsty ground after a drought when the showers begin to fall. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Really, the point here, it was first preached to the children of Israel. It had been preached to the children of Israel. Now it is being preached for the first time to the Gentiles. The word which God sent. Now what is the word of the gospel? Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. It is the gospel that Peter preached to them. It is the same gospel we preach today. We do not know any other. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. We put the crown upon his head in the preaching of the gospel. He is Lord of all. And when you feel your need, and when you see his suitability, and when he meets your need, you will crown him Lord of all. Sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Now this is what Peter preached. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The need of peace, peace between a holy God and a guilty sinner, peace to a troubled conscience. These would be the things that poor Cornelius was so worried about. He had a good religion as far as he went, but he did not enjoy the peace. That is it with some of you tonight. You have a good religion as far as it goes, but you do not enjoy the peace. This glorious man thy peace shall be. You will never find peace anywhere else. He made peace through the blood of his cross. He gives peace to these longing, waiting souls who can find no peace in themselves or in the world, but who long to find this peace in the gospel. Oh, but the power of the Holy Ghost with which it came, sealing it in Cornelius' heart. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? Well, do you want to hear things like this? Or are they too simple? Or do they not really mean anything? This is what Cornelius wanted to hear. And it is clear there were those with him, that is what they wanted to hear. And with what holy delight they listened to the word preached. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And then this simple opening up of the person of the Lord Jesus and the work that he finished on the cross, how he died and how he rose again. These must have been wonderful tidings to this man Cornelius. But we have heard them. We have become hard to them. Has it ever been a wonderful thing to you that the Son of God died? Has it ever been a wonderful thing to you that he rose again triumphant, that he ever lives, almighty to save? Whom they slew and hanged on a tree, him God raised up the third day. And then the conclusion. And really it was a twofold conclusion. One was very solemn and the other very blessed. And the solemn one was this. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. That is, the living and the dead. There is a judge, and there is a judgment day. God has appointed a day when he will judge the world by that man he has appointed unto himself. Now Cornelius and his house were reminded, we are not here forever. There is a day coming, a day of reckoning, a day of eternal reckoning. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The great thing for you and me is to be made right, to be made ready for that day. We cannot make ourselves right. We cannot make ourselves ready. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood, so, and only so, shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. It is awfully solemn. But look, beloved friends, have you ever thought about it? That the person who is going to be the judge in the great day is none other than that dear Saviour whom you have long known and loved, and the one who has long known you and loved you. It will be a terrible day, the last judgment, when all nations shall appear. But when you are brought forward and see that this one is the judge, and it is none other but the dear Saviour, you will recognise him, and he will recognise you and own you in that day as his. It is a wonderful thing for the people of God that our Saviour is going to be our judge. Well, that is the first conclusion, the judgment day. The second conclusion, through his name, whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. Now this must have been the great point with Cornelius, and it is the great point with some of you. Cornelius knew something, he knew quite a lot, but there was the ignorance, and in many things he was deficient, and he had not come to the great point. Well, the great thing is my sin. If sin be pardoned, I'm secure. Death has no sting beside. But it is my sin. How may I know it is pardoned? Oh, the remission of sin, the complete removing of sin. At Calvary, the Lord Jesus completely removed all the sins of his dear people. But it is to know it personally. And it is promised to those who are blessed with precious faith in Jesus. Whosoever believeth in him, however vile, however black, however ignorant, however deficient, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. It is the work of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fell upon him, enabling him to believe, to know that sweet joy and peace in believing. It is not just believing that Jesus did die and rose again. Really, if you want to know what a believer is, it is that wise man who built his house upon the rock because he could not build it anywhere else. Now he is the one who believes, who built his house on the rock, who rests on Christ and none but Christ. And in believing, he receives the seal of the complete putting away of his sins in the atonement. Oh, the wonderful blessing. What a day this was, the day the Lord had made, the opening of the door of faith to the Gentiles. And this poor, dear, longing man, finding all he had longed for, all he had sought, all he desired, in the person and finished work of Jesus. Nothing in self, everything in Christ. And he enjoyed that sweet joy and peace in believing. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Well, this was the gospel then. It is still the same gospel today. A religion before God. A message from God. Nothing but sin, guilt, ruin in you and me. Nothing but love, mercy, salvation in Jesus. Oh, but to come as a sinner, to know that believing for the remission of sins. Lo, glad I come, and thou blessed Lamb, oh, take me to thee as I am. Nothing but sin I thee can give, nothing but love may I receive. That is a true believer, and that is a sinner who will one day be in heaven. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £740.50, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach on Friday evening and next Lord's Day. And the collections today are for our Needy Cases Fund. And our friends at Oakington have their Christmas service on Saturday. Let us close with hymn 339. O my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears, but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is for ever mine. 339.
Thank you. thankful now for thy help and thy mercy through another day. Lord, we thank thee for the truth in that hymn that we've just sung. Our souls, through many changes, go. Thy love, no variation knows. Lord, what a mercy. Now help us to truly thank thee for it. Thy Spirit will not let me go. Oh, may we each prove it, Lord, the blessing of it. We thank thee for thy help, Lord, that thou hast given to our deacons today. We thank thee for thy word that we've read, the hymns we've sung, those sermons that we've heard. And now, Lord, we ask thee to truly bless them and apply them to each of our hearts. Lord, those searching things we've heard this evening. Lord, how some of us at least have to come in guilty, confessing our sins. Lord, as we hear these things, oh, but do stir us each up, Lord, so that as we come to thy house week by week, service by service, we may each, Lord, be given that true desire, as we heard this morning, to seek thy face. Oh Lord, we do pray then we can plead thy promise. Seek and ye shall find. And we pray, Lord, that we may each here, in thy time and thy way, find a precious Saviour, a precious Jesus, that will not let us go. Our hope for time, our hope for eternity. Oh Lord, bless us each then, we pray. Help us now, Lord, as we part and continue through this week. We ask, Lord, that thou be with each one, supply all of our different needs. May thy word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path as we go through the week. May we know thy presence with us. And Lord, remember our nation this week as we have the election we expect on Thursday. We truly would plead, Lord, that thou wilt overrule in these things, that, Lord, thou wilt grant us a government that will protect our freedom of speech, protect our freedom to worship thee. A government, Lord, where there may be some souls that truly know thy love and thy fear. A government, Lord, that will be used by thee for the good of our country. Lord, do appear then in all these things, that thy people may truly once more see thy hand working in this nation. Lord, appear then for thy honour and for thy glory. And appear, Lord, we pray, that I pray in heaven. Do forgive anything, Lord, that thou hast seen amiss in our worship, in our hearts this day. We ask for Jesus' sake. And now may the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us here.